And so our gospel continues this morning with this journey through Jesus's farewell discourse from the Gospel of John. You may recall that in this is a speech that Jesus gave to his disciples the night before he is to be captured and tried and tortured and executed. And so, admittedly, it's a little odd that our lectionary presents this for 4 weeks in the midst of Easter every year. But here it is, and here we are. So I've been thinking a lot recently about why the lectionary committee would throw us backwards into these 4 chapters of John every year, right in the middle of our Easter celebrations. I mean, we've been hollering our alleluias for a little while now, and yet we are asked to look back through John at those rough days right before everything went so quickly sideways. These 4 chapters, this farewell discourse, are intended to be heard by the community then, and the community now, as Jesus's final instructions. Jesus is loading up his disciples with everything they need to carry the good news out into the world. And while some of what Jesus has to offer is tough, it's also bread for our journey, filling and fulfilling and encouraging the disciples gathered around the table then, and we who gather around the table now. And so, in that vein, it's actually the perfect time to hear this every year here in Easter. In this season of resurrection and renewal, we are reminded of the words Jesus filled us with before he left. Here on Easter 6, the alleluias have started to lose their luster a little bit, as they do every year. And here in Virginia, the azaleas have begun to fade, and we're starting to make our summer plans. So maybe we could use a little shot in the arm of Jesus reminding us who and whose we are before the season of the resurrection comes to an end. God's time, as we know, isn't always linear. And so thus, the farewell discourse in John. If you love me, you will keep my commandments. This is an uncomfortable idea for us. This is a tough one. We who are deeply invested in personal freedom are not always real good at obedience. And the instruction to obey in order to prove love is countercultural to the currently understood principles of healthy relationship. And yet Jesus gives this to us as among the most significant of his parting instructions. What in the world is going on here? What is this commandment that Jesus is instructing his disciples to follow? To get the answer to that, we need to go even further back in John, back to chapter 13, for this mandate, the one after which Maundy Thursday is named. You remember it? Just as I have loved you, so should you love one another. And so, paired with today's reminder, we get Jesus reminding us that we are loved, and to accept that love, we must love Jesus and love others. Which makes this instruction simultaneously the easiest and the most difficult thing we will ever be asked to do in our lifetimes. It is a perfectly obvious and completely radical way of living out in the world. Now, we talk about this radical love all the time around here. We even practice it sometimes. It's a challenge we are called to meet in every thought and word and deed. And it is the very thing for which we ask forgiveness when we fall short. So we're going to practice a little something here. Take a minute with me right now, while you're sitting where you are, to think about a time, maybe a recent time, when you were unloving, rude, unjust, unkind, unfair to someone in your orbit, friend or stranger. Were you having a bad day and they just got in the way of you getting what you needed? Were they rude first? Did you feel like they deserved it? Okay, do you have that in your mind? Now, think about a time, maybe one fairly recently, when you practiced the radical and complicated love that Jesus is commanding us in today's gospel to practice. A time when you loved outwardly and intentionally someone that challenges you to your very core. Is there a time when you acted loving to someone who did not deserve or earn your love? Which of these two scenarios was easier for you to recall? I suspect that for many of us, maybe even most of us, it's harder to recall a time when we practiced this radical loving. Because we've gotten really good at standing our ground, at snapping back with the quickest of retorts, at casting judgments on others based on our own ideas of how it should be. It's much more comfortable to throw barbs and to feel superior to those around us than it is to listen and to learn, to risk growth, to risk being hurt, to risk being changed. We've been taught from birth to show our intellectual and physical and financial dominance, to win at all costs. Gentleness is for the weak. Vulnerability is the sure path to destruction. And then along comes our Savior. On the eve of his death, reminding us that actually vulnerability is the greatest of strengths. That connection between people is greater than power over. Love is the way, the singular and only way to true salvation. This loving thing is really very messy. And sometimes it's even painful. But there's good news in this gospel. Good news that stretches well beyond that commandment to love deeply and creatively and radically and compassionately. If our gospel for this week ended with that difficult commandment, "If you love me, you will keep my commandments," there might be some good reason to despair, since I'm not sure most days we are cut out for the intensity of loving in the way we are being commanded to do. But the gospel doesn't end there. The farewell discourse in John doesn't end there. Jesus doesn't end there. Because even though this work is very, very, very hard, Jesus promises us that after he leaves, God will send another advocate to work alongside us, to work in us even, to accomplish that which we are too small and often too broken to do on our own. The Gospel of John talks at great length about the Holy Spirit. More than any of our other gospel writers, John's theology relies on the presence of the Spirit. The word John uses most often is a favorite of mine. It's the word paraclete, from the noun parakletos. Para, alongside, kalein, to call, from the Greek. Para, kalein, parakletos. So the paraclete is literally the one who is called to be alongside, the one who supports, the one who advocates, the one who comforts. That is to say, the paraclete is all of us. It is this community, it is this congregation. Some of you may remember the general conventions of the Episcopal Church leading up to the publication of the 1979 Book of Common Prayer. And in those conventions, the Episcopal Church departed from a long-standing Anglican tradition of private family baptisms. In our 1979 book and in our canons, we are given the instruction that the sacrament of holy baptism should occur in a parish at the principal Sunday Eucharist service. The theology behind this is very clear. When we are initiated into Christ's body, as we are in baptism, the entirety of the Christian community gathered is to take part in the sacrament. Baptism is where we become parakletos for each other. It is where we make that manifest, when we, the people gathered, promise together with one voice to support this person in his or her life in Christ. Without the people gathered, without all of us present to raise that loud, "We will," with God's help, the sacramental core of baptism starts to lose its meaning. It's in danger of disintegrating into something sentimental and meaningless. We need each other. If you love me, you will keep my commandments. I am giving you a new commandment. Just as I have loved you, so you should love one another. I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate, a paraclete, to be with you forever. We are commanded to love God and to love one another. And we are comforted by the fact that we will never be required to do this difficult work alone. Because of these two promises from Jesus as he bids farewell to his disciples at the end of his earthly journey, we know that we have a difficult calling, but also the strength and companionship among us to accomplish it. So today, Christ Church, I'm going to issue you a challenge. You're ready for it. I can feel it. When you leave this sacred place today, filled with the Holy Spirit, surrounded by a community that supports you, I would like you to go forth and commit one act of radical love this week. Keep it legal. Do more if you can handle it, but do at least one. Love someone that doesn't earn it. Practice gentleness with someone hard. Listen carefully with someone whose beliefs make your skin crawl. Open your heart to someone that might break it. Report back next week. Not kidding. Tell me about it. You can email me if that's easier. Tell a fellow church member about it. Share with us how you learned to love and what you learned about love. Listen to your fellow paracletes, your advocates, your comforters, and let's celebrate together this invitation to radical love. Amen.